What do you conspire against the Lord? He will make an utter end of it. Affliction will not rise up a second time. Verse 14, the Lord has given a command concerning you. Your name shall be perpetuated no longer. Out of the house of your God, I will cut off the calf image and the molded image. I will dig your grave, for you are vile. See, the Assyrian Empire had risen against Almighty God. And that was why Nahum carried a fierce prophecy. The outline is very simple. All three talks about judgment and destruction on Nineveh, and which symbolizes the entire Assyrian Empire. In chapter 1, it was decreed. In chapter 2, it was described. All those things that will happen, it's described. Then in chapter 3, it's demanded of them, judgment is demanded because of many things that they have done. In verse 1, chapter 3, verse 1, woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery. Its victim never departs. So you notice all the things that I mentioned, why the Lord demands judgment. It's a very simple outline in this book. And as we read it, one of the most important questions we ask, how does this book signify in our 20th century today? Why is it there? Is it just a historical book to tell us that, hey, it's come to pass and God has delivered the Israelites? About 80-odd years after Nahum prophesied, the Assyrian Empire was completely wiped out. Like he said, there was a literal fulfillment. But for students of prophecy, we realize many of the prophecies have a dual fulfillment. There is a historical fulfillment and an eschatological fulfillment. And it's the eschatological fulfillment that we're interested in from our viewpoint in church history, from our viewpoint in this last of the last days. Why did God preserve a prophecy about the destruction of the Assyrian? We have mentioned that every prophetic book talks about the last days. The reason is because the Assyrian and the Assyrian Empire represents the Antichrist who will confront the Lord Jesus Christ in His second coming. See, the key words to interpret this book in the eschatological sense is found in Isaiah chapter 10, who was a contemporary with Nahum. In Isaiah chapter 10, we see both a historical fulfillment and an eschatological fulfillment in the Assyrian. Isaiah chapter 10. The background is about the Assyrian Empire again. So here in Isaiah 10 verse 5. Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger. In other words, God permitted and allowed the Assyrians to destroy Samaria because Samaria was disobedient. And God permitted all the destruction to come upon Israel for His reason. But later on, the Assyrians themselves got judged, as we see here. And in chapter 10, after the Assyrians had destroyed the Israelites, God said the Assyrian will be destroyed. Verse 20, Isaiah begins to talk about the last days as well as the historical return of the Israelites. So there was a twofold prophecy again, a historical return and an eschatological fulfillment. We are in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob, who will never again depend on him who defeated them. but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them will return. The destruction decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Now the historical fulfillment of this was when the Israelites returned together in the book of Ezra and Nehemiah. Then the eschatological fulfillment of the return is in the 20th century in 1948 when they came back. So there is a dual fulfillment. There were two returns. One the actual historical, the other the eschatological return. And in view of the eschatological return, he continues here. Verse 24. Therefore thus says the Lord God of hosts, O my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrian. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt. In other words, the Lord is pointing to some eschatological truth. As Pharaoh oppressed Israel before the Exodus, so the Assyrian oppress you. They have lifted their staff against you. And as the Antichrist will also oppress the nation of Israel in the last 3 years of the tribulation week. Remember, in the middle of the week, he will show his true color and he will oppress Israel. We are talking about the last week of Daniel, which is 7 years. In the first part of the 7 years, the first 3.5, he will come like a man of peace. And then when he is received as a Messiah, falsely and wrongly by the Israelites, he will reveal his true color and the abomination and desolation will come in the middle of the 7 weeks. And that was when he oppressed, the Antichrist will oppress Israel, which this has not come to pass yet, as Egypt oppressed Israel, as the Assyrian oppressed Israel, so the Antichrist will oppress Israel. And only God can deliver them from there. So let's read on in verse 25. For yet a very little while, and the indignation will cease, so will my anger in their destruction. And a lot of hosts will stir up a scourge for him, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. As his rod was on the sea, so will he lift it up in a manner of Egypt. Just as Pharaoh lift his rod and beat down the Israelites in the oppression before the Exodus, just as the Assyrian beat down the Israelites like the Egyptians, just like the Antichrist will oppress the nation of Israel in the last 3.5 years so that Israel has to flee to the wilderness, God will lift up the rod as He delivered them through the sea, as He parted the sea in Moses' time and destroyed Pharaoh. And so he will do the same and destroy the Assyrians. So he will do the same and destroy the Antichrist. That's when verse 27, a favorite verse of many, is quoted. The context of it is the Assyrian. But the eschatological fulfillment is the power of the Spirit against the power of the Antichrist. There we see in verse 27, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. This is the eschatological fulfillment that points to the power of God that will be released, that will destroy the Assyrians. And there is a type of it in the church. For the church, we do not face the Antichrist like the Jews. We face the devil and his cohorts and his yoke over the captives, over the oppressed, spiritually oppressed will be broken through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can see the typology there. Now as we study the Assyrian as representing the Antichrist, we need to understand that when the Antichrist arises forth, he will be a man of peace to the Israelites in the first part of the tribulation week. But in his rising, he will also destroy many. You notice here in the book of Nahum, it talks about great destruction of the city. Many things that take place here. Let's look at the book of Nahum. It says in verse 8, 7 and 8 and 9, chapter 2, it is decreed, she shall be led away captive, she shall be brought up, and a maidservant shall lead her as with the voice of doves, beating their breasts. Though Nineveh of old was like a pond of water, now they flee away. Halt, halt, they cry, but no one turns back. Take spoil of silver, take spoil of gold. There is no end of treasure or wealth of every desirable prize. She is empty, desolate, and waste. The heart melts and the knees shake. Much pain is in every side, and all their faces are drained of color. It says here in verse 4, chapter 3, because of the multitude of harlotries, of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries. Now, doesn't this sound like the Babylon that the book of Revelation talks about? The mother of harlots. Now, that picture is given to the city of Nineveh, called the mother of harlots. Let's look and cross-reference to the book of Revelation. In chapter 18, chapter 18, of the book of Revelation, it tells us about this city called Babylon. Let's read verse 1. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a habitation of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of her wrath, or the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of a luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive our plagues. Now notice, here is the mother of harlots again in Revelation. But this time, the name given to this city is Babylon. It's a spiritual type. Now tonight we're going to unveil what that Babylon is. But background, chapter 17 of Revelation, verse 5, he saw this woman on this beast. Well, my sir, read verse 3. Sometimes I go too fast because I assume that people know their Bible back and forth. And so I say, no, start with verse 4. Then I realize some of you may not even know that there's such a woman and that she's sitting on the beast. And well, so we slow down a bit. So let's go back to first gear. Chapter 17, Verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast,